Hi there. I'm Isaac Luria, J Street's online director, and I'm here with renowned Israeli journalist Akiva Eldar, talking about the results from last night's Israeli elections. Akiva Eldar is a chief political columnist and editorial writer for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. He's the co-author of a book chronicling the Jewish settlement movement called Lords of the Land, The Settlers and the State of Israel. Eldar was the last Israeli to interview Yasser Arafat in July of 2004, and the first Israeli to interview Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas upon his 2003 election. As the Haaretz Washington correspondent, Eldar reported on U.S.-Israel relations in the mid-1990s and was at the signing of the Oslo Accords on the White House lawn in September 1993. So let's get right to it. We've all been following the news, seeing that it looks like Kadima edged out Likud by about one seat in the Knesset. Do you want to quickly give us an overview of what happened and where we might be heading from here?
Well, as you may know, the Israeli electoral system doesn't actually give to the party that is leading, even if it's more than one or two, couple of Knesset seats, the priority. Formally, it looks like the president is going to invite Tzipi Livni first and offer her the mandate to form a government. But at the end of the discussions that he will hold with the representative of the different parties, he will sit with his calculator, and if it doesn't sum up to 61 with Tzipi Livni, he will have to turn to Netanyahu. And right now, if you look at the right-wing Orthodox bloc, they have at least five or six seats more than the center-left. And this is before we are looking at the response of the Labour Party, let alone Meretz, that indicates that they are not in the mood to become number three or number four in the next coalition. And there are more and more voices that are calling them to move to the opposition and try to come back from there after they will consolidate their message. So right now, I think that we are, as they call in football, in garbage time, that you're going to get a lot of spins in the newspapers about secret meetings and all kind of offers. It's going to be like an Oriental bazaar, but at the end of the day, I'm afraid that the Israeli center-left doesn't have much to sell.
Okay. How long do you think that process will take?
Well, it can take several weeks if, as I said, Tzipi Livni will be the first one to negotiate with the smaller parties. It may take 3 weeks. And then if she fails, Netanyahu will get another 3 weeks. So it can take, I would say, even more than a month.
One of the other major stories out of this election is the rise of Avigdor Lieberman and his Israel Our Home, or Yisrael Beiteinu party. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about why he was successful, what his message is, and why he was so successful in particular among young people.
Actually, his success reflects the mood in the Israeli public. It shows a lot of xenophobia, lack of trust in the Arabs. I can refer you to a survey, an academic survey that was done recently in Tel Aviv University, that shows that about 50% of the Israelis believe that the majority, or at least good part of the Israeli Arabs, were involved in planning and committing terrorist attacks against Israelis. So his message that the Arabs, the Israeli Arabs, are not loyal, and he's going, he knows how to treat them, looked very attractive to many people, and that actually shows that we shouldn't take democracy for granted in Israel, that it's still very young and fragile. And there is a lot of work to be done with especially young people and immigrants from former Soviet Union who don't know much about the history, about the relationship between Israelis and Palestinians in Israel, and the message of Lieberman, which is very simple, which is power, strength, animosity, is very easy to understand and to like and to absorb if you don't have another message. And the message of the left, especially what happened in Gaza, has paralyzed the Israeli left. Even Meretz had to, they felt that they had to support the war at the beginning. So their message was much more complicated, unclear, ambiguous than the message of Lieberman. Mm-hmm. And for young people, lower classes, it was much more difficult to absorb this than the message, the clear, simple message of the right.
Right. So what do these elections mean for the peace process with the Palestinians or with the Arab neighbors?
I think it's too early to answer, because the answer is waiting for us somewhere in the Oval Office, I think. Because this government, the next government, is not going to voluntarily offer concessions to the Arabs. The pressure is not going to come from inside, as we see when we look at the results of the elections. So the only way is if it will come from outside, namely the United States. If it doesn't come from there, nothing is going to happen. The Israeli politician, whether he's right, you know, as well, take for instance Netanyahu, who has, I think, very bitter memories from his relationship with Bill Clinton, and he knows that he paid the price for it, losing the elections in 1999 to Barack. I think that if he gets a clear message from President Obama that he's not going to tolerate any kind of peace process that has nothing to do with peace, dragging his feet and so on, I think that he will have to take it very seriously. And that means that I'm not sure if President Obama is serious about what he said publicly, and by sending George Mitchell so early to the region. I think that this right-wing, ultra-right government will not survive very long.
So, a related question, then, what would be your advice to President Obama, Secretary Clinton, and Middle East envoy George Mitchell, given the recent elections?
I think that the message should be very clear, that it's up to you to decide what you want, but don't expect us to turn blind eyes to settlements, to violation of your commitments to the previous administration, there is going to be a price tag. We are waiting for you with a full basket of rewards if you go our way. But if you don't expect us to play business as usual.
Understood. So what would your advice be to J Street members, to J Street leadership and other American supporters of Israel who are pushing for a two-state solution peace process with the Palestinians?
I think that the message that has to come from there to the White House and to Capitol Hill is that, you know, the Israeli public has decided that they want to give a chance to the right. This is Israel is a democracy, and you have to respect this. But at the same time, the United States has clear interests. And if those interests don't meet with the policy of the new government, you have to react as if Israel is a country that needs a guideline. And Israel needs to know that the United States has interest in the Middle East, which is beyond it. I'll give you an example. Bibi Netanyahu believes that the existential threat is Iran, and he needs the United States support diplomatically and maybe even militarily support. Now, I think it would be fair to tell the president and Congress that you will support any kind of message to the Iranian that you cannot tolerate this nuclear threat. But at the same time, you can go to Bibi Netanyahu and tell him it goes both ways. It has to be our relationship is not a one-way street. You need our help on Iran. We need your help to consolidate the American coalition to help us to get out of Iraq and to make sure that Iran will not jump in into the vacuum. So you have to help us to help you. And you have to listen to us, and you have to take into consideration also our constraints in the area. We have to listen to Egypt, to Jordan, to Saudi Arabia. Even if you Israelis are not willing to listen, we need to listen to them. So it's up to you to decide. And I think that the worst thing that can happen to us now is that if the United States will play business as usual and say, you know, we are going to support Israel, whatever you do. We don't care. We have the Jewish lobby here. We have our political interests, domestic interests, and we are committed to the old slogans. I would say that Israel is now standing on top of a cliff. And if your friend, if your son, if your brother is standing on the top of a cliff and about to jump, you do everything to stop him, including hitting him very hard on his head.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Akiva, for taking the time to speak with us and the J Street membership out there. We'll be in touch soon, and thanks again.
And thank you for what you're doing, and I wish you a lot of success, because your success is our success.
Thank you, Akiva.
Thank you so much.